A demonstration of superior judgment.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of League Lore and More. We are continuing our Ionia series with Shen, the Eye of Twilight, released way back in March of 2010. Shen is a kind of an iconic tank pick in League of Legends. He's definitely seen his fair share of play throughout many metas. He has played top jungle and support, jungle being a very, very niche pick, and it's only ever been played a few times on the professional stage. Mostly top lane though. Occasionally there are metas where Shen support is more common, but he's mostly only played in top lane. He is a ninja. He's dressed head to toe. He almost looks like kind of like Shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in his like attire. So he's covered head to toe except for his eyes in ninja-like garb. He uses energy instead of mana. He, as I said earlier, he's a tank. He's melee, like hand-to-hand. Well, he has blades, but it's close quarters. And his main kind of thing is he is great at protecting, you know, your team's carries. His E ability is a dash where any enemy champions that he passes through are taunted, which means they attack him. So it's great to use, you know, if your ADC or your mid laner is, you know, getting jumped on, you can taunt the enemy and, you know, free them up to survive or return damage. And then his ultimate is a global. So he can cast it from anywhere on the map to anywhere else on the map. But it's a 3-second channel, which is quite long for a channel in League of Legends. But during the channel, it grants a shield to the ally that he is going to teleport to. And the shield lasts for about 5 seconds. And then when the channel completes, Shen blinks / teleports to the target ally and comes out between them and the nearest enemy champion. So if there's an incoming projectile, you could potentially block that. And is a great, so couple that with like his E, which so like you ult on someone, then taunt the enemies that are attacking them. His W is also a good tool. It creates a circle around him, which generates a protective zone, is what it's called, but it's just kind of the circle that if you stand in it, it blocks all non-turret basic attacks. So it doesn't block abilities, but it blocks basic attacks. So if you're in melee with someone and you use your W, you are going to block a lot of their damage. So yeah, he's a very he can do a lot of damage with his Q, which is just empowers his next 3 auto attacks. But he's very much a full tank / bruiser build. So you can build some damage items on him. But anyway, Shen is among the secretive Ionian warriors known as the Kinku. Shen serves as their leader, the Eye of Twilight. He longs to remain free from the confusion of emotion, prejudice, and ego, and walks the unseen path of dispassionate judgment between the spirit realm and the physical world. Tasked with enforcing the equilibrium between them, Shen wields blades of steel and arcane energy against any who would threaten it. Shen is the first champion introduced into the game to use energy. Both Shen and Zed do not reveal their faces in any of their skins except for Pulsefire Shen. Shen, his dance is a Tai Chi form, and Shen is the first dark-themed Ionian champion. Shen, Pantheon, and Twist of Fate were the first to have global range teleport abilities. Pantheon has been drastically changed with his rework, and Twist of Fate has also been changed where it's now a semi-global. You cannot teleport from any location to any location. You have to be within a certain range, where Shen's is still anywhere to anywhere. Yeah, that will do it for the introduction. We will learn more about the Eye of Twilight and his ninja ways in the biography and story. So I hope you all learn something, and I hope you all enjoy it.
Without a sound.
Shen, the Eye of Twilight. An enigma to the spirit realm as well as the mortal world, Shen belongs to neither. Although born to one of the most revered families of northern Navori, it was his father's role as the Eye of Twilight that set his destiny in the Kinku Order. As the son of Great Master Khushu, he was immersed in the Order's culture, and its core tenets were as familiar to him as the Ionian sunset. He knew the necessity of pruning the tree, the determination of coursing the sun, but above all, he learned the wisdom of watching the stars. He meditated and studied throughout his childhood and was considered exemplary by all his teachers. His closest friend, the only one who could match him in practice bouts, was the young acolyte Zed. They grew up as brothers, often confiding in each other their personal hopes and dreams. Shen could turn to Zed for a fresh perspective on any matter, and the two became known as the Kinku's most promising students. As their skills developed, Khushu brought them on dangerous missions, including a hunt for the golden demon plaguing the province of Xion. Their search took years, but Shen stayed committed even after uncovering countless gruesome murders. When they at last captured the demon, it was revealed to be Kada Jin, a mere stagehand from a traveling theater. Instead of execution, Great Master Khushu ordered the criminal imprisoned. Though he and Zed both thought the killer deserved heavier punishment, Shen accepted his father's decision. He strived to emulate the Eye of Twilight's dispassion, and so found himself failing to console a bitter and resentful Zed. Even when Noxian invaders threatened the peace of the First Lands, Shen reluctantly supported Khushu's inaction. But when Zed abandoned the Kinku to join the fight, Shen stayed within the temple walls. Many of the provinces were soon occupied by the enemy. Despite this, Shen focused on maintaining Ionia's spiritual harmony. So it was, when he was far from home, he felt a jolting imbalance within the Kinku Order. Rushing back, he came upon the survivors of a bloody coup. From them, he learned Zed had raised acolytes of his own and seized the temple. Worst of all, Shen's father had been slain by the man he once saw as kin. Repressing his anguish, he led the remnants of the Kinku to safety in the mountains. Shen took up his father's spirit blade as well as the title of Eye of Twilight. His role was not to seek vengeance, but to rebuild the order. Following the core tenets, he began to recruit and train others, hoping to restore its strength. One acolyte in particular showed boundless potential. Shen taught the girl Akali Jomin Tethi to master the arts of stealth and subterfuge. Her mother, Mayim, had stood alongside Khushu as the Fist of Shadow, and it seemed as though her daughter could follow the same path. Even so, Shen found himself forced to urge restraint whenever Akali would seek to strike back at their mortal foes. When Noxus finally withdrew, many Ionians celebrated the victorious resistance. Others, like Shen, endured the consequences of war. He persisted in his duty, while in private he wrestled with his hatred for Zed and doubt in his own ability to lead. The years of conflict had taken a heavy toll on the First Lands, and Shen was uncertain whether the rebuilt Kinku would ever be able to redress the balance. Indeed, even as Akali became the new Fist of Shadow, he felt her beginning to drift away. In time, she openly denounced his teachings and left the Order. Shen meditated, watching the stars, and understood that Akali would need to find her own way, and so would the Kinku. Sometimes, between the unseen struggles in the spirit realm, Shen still contemplates the value of his beliefs. He has never let his emotions stop him from preserving tradition, but the question remains, how long can one man walk two worlds before the acts of one destroy the other?
You're already dead. You just haven't caught up yet.
Shen's story is called True Neutral. It was no tempest. It was a spirit, said the fisherman, still rattled by the shipwreck he'd barely survived two nights ago. The man told of his fishing vessel being sunk by a creature large as a house and quick as the wind. Shen listened to the tale, silently weighing the facts as presented. Show me where it happened, said Shen. The man led him to a beach in the bay where a team of villagers worked to recover the drowned bodies of the mariners. Shen knelt to examine a piece of wreckage. The gashes in the driftwood were deep and savage, the work of powerful claws. How many dead? He asked. All but me. Six, responded the fisherman. The spirits are strong, thought Shen, digging through the wreckage for any further evidence. At last, on the edge of a splintered portion of the hull, he found it, a small tuft of gossamer hair. Most people would overlook it, or if they did see it, they'd never believe a creature that could break a ship in half could leave something so delicate. But Shen had seen hair like this before. Any doubts he'd had about the veracity of the fisherman's tale faded as he watched the fine silvery tuft dissolve into nothing as at his touch. A demon, Shen remarked. You must have sailed into its path. The fisherman nodded grimly. Spirits of all kinds were known to mingle with the physical world, especially in Ionia, where the barrier between realms was thin and passable. The ethereal and material planes were in constant contact, sliding peacefully past one another like oil atop water. As the Eye of Twilight, it was Shen's duty to walk between the worlds, ensuring neither side overwhelmed the other. To humans, he was a ghost, vanishing in the space between breaths to reappear many miles away. To spirits, he was a human, flesh and bone, who ought never to venture into ethereal realms. He knelt on the beach to examine one of the corpses that had been recovered. The man had been torn in half, just below the ribs. What was left of his innards dangled from a pale, bloated torso. You need not worry. I shall have the monster before nightfall, said a voice from behind. Shen turned to see a holy man sent by the local temple. Several acolytes stood around him carrying an assortment of mystical trinkets and oils. They were beginning a cleansing ritual to root out any spiritual disturbances in the area. The holy man stared at Shen as if sizing up his value. Can we count on your help, sir? The man asked. Balance will be restored, said Shen with an assuring nod. He parted ways with the holy man and continued to follow the faint trail of gossamer hair. He thought of the dead seafarers and the cost he'd need to exact from the demon. The words of his father still rang true. The hardest part is finding the point of balance in all things. True neutrality, the precise center of all forces at work in the world. That is what the eye must be able to distinguish. Enforcing that equilibrium was its own struggle. For the task, Shen carried two blades on his back. One was an Ionian steel saber that could cleave through a person in one blow. The other was a sword of pure arcane energy. It was used for dealing with spirits, and had been passed down through many generations of Shen's ancestors. He had slain countless demons, ghosts, wraiths, and sprites with it over the years, and fully expected to take one more before the day was done. At last, Shen came to a secluded inlet, quiet and devoid of human activity. On a sandbar in the shallows lay the demon, its fine, glossy coat shimmering in the dusk. The creature swelled as it rested, engorged from consuming the mortal essences of its victims. Shen crept through the rushes, silently edging toward the sleeping demon. He could see its massive ribcage expand and contract with deep, restful breaths. When he was but a few paces from the sandbar, he drew his spirit blade, readying his strike. Suddenly, a distressing sound stayed his hand. It was a shrill, ghastly cry emanating from the very air itself. It sounded familiar, but before Shen could identify the noise, he heard it again, and again, and again, culminating in a chorus of blood-curdling shrieks. They were the cries of dying spirits. Shen's eyes darted back to the demon. Now beginning to stir from its slumber, Shen took one more look at his spirit blade, calmly weighing his options. He then clasped his hands together, carefully focusing his Kai, and disappeared in a vortex of crackling energy, leaving the demon alone on its sandbar. A moment later, Shen reappeared at the site of the shipwreck. All around, smoldering pools of black ooze evaporated into the air, coupled with the lingering reek of terror. Shen counted the dissipating black puddles, each the remains of a slain spirit. His tally was interrupted as the holy man entered the clearing with his acolytes. One of the men held a cord of flax and silver. Tethered to the other end was a smaller spirit, an imp of no significance. It struggled against the choke of its leash. It wailed as it saw the remains of its brethren. "Would you care to dispose of this one?" the holy man asked Shen, casually, as if offering him a bowl of soup at dinner. Shen looked at the sticky, smoldering pools that were mighty beings of the other world just moments ago. Then he turned his gaze toward the priest and the wailing imp. "I am sorry for this, Your Holiness," he said. He placed his spirit blade back into its scabbard and drew his steel saber instead. It was not the sword he had expected to use that day.
I find them unworthy.
So there is the story of Shen. And we get some name drops in there, mostly Zed and Akali are the two characters in the stories that are actually champions in the game that we can talk about next. They're also ninjas, obviously. They trained with Zed or were trained by him in Akali's case. And both are no longer a part of the Kinku, which is, you know, kind of the resting point of the three of theirs' relationship, whether or not Akali and Zed have come to know each other is yet to be seen, but Shen has a journey ahead of him that is very open to expansion in the lore, very easily can be added to, I think, especially when you have such a clear nemesis and clear, like, Padawan apprentice who can, you know, return at a critical moment. But also, I know each time I like to kind of point out the theme that they're going for with these stories, right? And this is definitely a kind of in a way like Kung Fu Panda, how like Po would be Shen. Now, Master Shifu is not Po's father in that movie, but Po being his apprentice, and then kind of the heir apparent being like the chosen one. And I forget the leopard's, the snow leopard's name, who's the villain in the first Kung Fu Panda, but he would be equivalent to Zed, right? Where he disagrees with the teachings of Shifu and the rules and the way Shifu is running things, both Shifu and Master Oogway, the turtle. And, you know, is banished or slash leaves because he tries to seize power for himself. And Zed, you know, raises, trains some acolytes and tries to take power for himself. And they're both kind of orientally based in terms of Eastern Asian thematic inspirations, especially with Kung Fu Panda, obviously. But Ionia is very much, even just in the way that the characters are drawn artistically, it lends itself more to more Eastern Asian peoples and landscapes than it would, you know, say American or European. But without need for any more discussion, I will wrap it up there, and then we will continue next week with Zed, and then probably Akali the week after. So I hope you all have a great week. I hope your Labor Day weekends were good here in the States. An extra day off for some, not all. I get that. I will see you all next week.
If light travels so fast, how come it's never caught a ninja?